Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Short Corner podcast. This is episode number 16. After a long hiatus, we have returned without Naeem, but I'm joined by Joe. Do you want to say hello?
Yeah, good to be back to us.
Finally. And then, with Rid and Samir as well.
Hola.
Oh, hello, everyone. Good to be back.
No Naeem, he's just busy today. But yeah, it's been absolute ages. It's been like, well, I've not been on since like July, and the last one we've made at all was like 15th of September or something like that. And yeah, we've just been busy. Like I moved to uni, and yeah, so I was adapting with that and everything. And then we've all had our reasons why we've just not really got around to recording one really, but a lot's happened. We've like exited the Champions League, and been involved at the top of the table again for a second season running. Overall, a positive season, and now we're reaching the business end of it where we want to sort of end up on top of the table because we're in this position now. But yeah, do any of you want to sort of like run through what you thought of the season between our last episode and all the stuff that's gone on?
Yeah, I think what has happened is that it's obviously been a good season. I think if you look at it compared to last year, we're still in the title race. At this point last year, we weren't. I'd say the title race last year was probably over when Inter beat us 3-0. But obviously, we won the last derby in the league, and we're still top of the table. However, I was very disappointed in our European campaign, mainly because it just sort of seemed like we weren't really bothered with it in some ways, or we kind of gave up after the second one, or the second game where we lost to Atletico Madrid. Overall it's been good. I think the big problem this season has been the attack, really. In fact, we don't score enough goals, and teams, particularly in Europe, just figured us out. We didn't look like we were troubling Porto really at all, or even Atletico Madrid in most of those games, even though we won the second one. But I mean, Liverpool's like C team looked like they had us completely down, didn't they? Which is a bit worrying. Because usually I'd say we look all right in the league, but you know, against the bigger teams, when things aren't going our way, I don't fancy us to turn it around. I think that's what's going to stop Milan from competing for trophies and competing in Europe.
I think when it comes to the UCL, I'm going to have to disagree with Joe, actually, because I think when the groups I first saw it, everyone called our group, you know, the group of death, because obviously Liverpool, Atletico Madrid, AC Milan and Porto, with our old teams, they've probably all had chances to go through. And I think if we look back to the last podcast we made, I think we're all kind of saying we'll all be skeptical of whether we'll be able to go through, and obviously we haven't. I remember just going in to the first Liverpool game and be like, right, is it going to end 6-0? Is there even a point watching it? But even though we got slaughtered the first 25 minutes, we looked like amateurs in the first game, and then we managed to score two goals, but obviously it wasn't enough. But I think as a whole, if you look at where we are as a team compared to where like Liverpool are, like Atletico Madrid, or even Porto, where they are in the bigger picture, we are nowhere near them. Because obviously Atletico Madrid, it's coming from winning La Liga last season. Liverpool, obviously, they're just great, really. They haven't won the Premier League last season, but, you know, they're just as good as it gets. So the fact that we've been able to, I guess, you know, put a fight against all teams, and at some point, even me, who was the most skeptical, was like, we're going to end fourth. Which we did, but even the fact that I got to, you know, the last couple of games, like, you know what, we might have a little chance to actually go through, just kind of goes to show how, even though we're not good enough still to, you know, challenge for the UCL or even go through yet, there's still something that we can build upon. And I really enjoyed that, because obviously it was the first UCL in ages, and the fact that, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I almost believed towards the end that, you know what, if we get lucky, we'll make it, but we haven't. So obviously it is disappointing coming last. It's always disappointing coming last, but I think That's the best way to come last, if that makes sense.
Honestly, I think for the first time, like in like 6-7 years, we did fine. Like no one has UCL experience except Ibra and Simon, right? Simon Kier, like no one else that I can think of. Our group was like hard. Like we knew it was a group of death, and the ref did not help us at all. Like the Atletico game, like he really, like if we won that match, I think, like I really think so, we'd have been second, honestly. Like since that match, I think like our team was fully demotivated, you know. And the Porto also, Luis Diaz, man, that match. So yeah, I think if we won the Atletico match, the first match, maybe we could have been second. But then overall, for the first time in like 6-7 years, we were fine. Like, you know, everyone tried their best, right? And yeah, I think for next year, we're going to be much, much, much better.
Yeah, I think there's elements of truth to what everyone said, to be fair. I think in terms of Europe, there's truth in what Samir and Rid have said in terms of like, as a club, we think we're Milan. We should we're not entitled, but we have like a high expectation as like Milan fans that we're like historically one of like the European elite. So but in terms of comparing it to where we are as a team, so where we are as a club is obviously one of the biggest clubs in the world, but as a team, we're still a young, inexperienced team. So yeah, to not completely embarrass ourselves in Europe, I think it sounds a bit like negative, but that is an achievement for such a young side. But then I do agree with what Joe was saying, that we know that we've got game changers in our team. We know we've got the quality. We know we're good enough. So I agree with Joe in the sense that it was slightly frustrating that, yeah, we just didn't quite, like Joe said, put in enough fight. And it almost seemed like we were just happy to be there and like just happy to take part. Whereas what we maybe would have liked to see is just a bit more sort of that passion to sort of, yeah, seem like we know we're good enough to go through, but rather than just accept that, yeah, we'll finish bottom and it's an achievement. So so that's the Champions League. And then obviously since the last episode, we've obviously had a whole Coppa Italia progression all the way to semi-final, and obviously the first leg against Inter, we drew that 0-0. I think Coppa Italia, people underestimate it, like that's a big trophy, like, and at the how long it's been since Milan won a proper trophy, unless you count the Supercoppa. It's been a while, so I'd love that. I'm just interested to see what you lot all think about the potential of a Coppa Italia win and, yeah, how much it'd mean to you lot as Milan fans as well.
I want to go first. Any trophy is a trophy. I don't care. Like, give me Supercoppa. Like we Milan fans, we can't, you know, choose and pick trophies. We have no trophies since, like, last 10 years. Unless you want to, you know, call Supercoppa a trophy, you know? Like, you know, like, give me something. Except Supercoppa, give me something. Like, I think it's been, like, what? Since, like, 10, 11 years, we won the Coppa Italia. The last one was, what, 2012, if I'm not mistaken, right? So it's like, you know, I see, like, Milan fans saying on Twitter, like, anywhere, like, oh, I'd rather have the, you know, Serie A than the Coppa. No, like, any trophy is a trophy. Like, you know, like, we can pick and choose. Like, we're not there yet. Yes, I want to go through, like, I want to get the Supercoppa and top four, and I'm happy, you know? What about you guys?
I mean, I'm going to have to agree. The last time I saw Milan lift the trophy was when I was playing FIFA. We won the UCL with Mbappe, Messi up top for me. So, you know, I can't, if whether we count the Supercoppa or not, it's, you know, whatever. But, my most recent memory is when we lost 4-0 against Juventus in the Supercoppa again with Bonucci scoring.
Kalinic masterclass own goal.
Yeah, I remember Donnarumma anyways, just to answer the question. Yeah, I mean, a trophy is a trophy at the end of the day. I think for us, it's been that long, and whatever we win, it will be a good building base. You know, it will bring a little bit of money, even though in Serie A, whatever you win, you get nothing really compared to other leagues, but it would be good for image, it would be good for confidence of the team. You know, our team can finally say, oh, we won a trophy finally. People on Twitter can start making fun of us for not winning anything in a while as well, so that's probably the biggest achievement as well. But I think if it comes down to focusing, obviously ideally we win both Coppa Italia and Serie A, but Serie A is a bit more, it's harder, obviously, because it's hard, just the way it works. But with the Coppa, I think if we can, we have a good chance, because obviously against Inter, we were away. No, sorry, Inter was away and they didn't score any goals. So as long as we really get a goal in the next next leg, we're in a very good position to get through the final. So I think we're in a good position. And, you know, we only have two competitions right now. And I think we have enough good players, enough depth in our team to do good in both. If I had to choose between winning the Serie A and the Coppa Italia, I would obviously win the Scudetto. But either or for me, I'm just desperate for anything at this point. I'll even take the Trofeo Berlusconi if that comes back. I'll take anything.
I mean, I've got a question for you guys, actually. I mean, do you guys know how many times Milan as a club has actually won the Coppa Italia?
Isn't it like once or twice?
It's five times. However, last time we won it was 2003, and the last time before that was 1977.
What the?
So, we've got a terrible record in that competition. So for that reason, I think it'd be quite good to win it. But I just thought it was interesting that you know, like, I mean, in the decade of the Ancelotti Milan, that sort of period, you know, I always think of that team as, in my head, I thought we were a better cup team than a league team, because we won, I think it was like one of the Champions League twice, but we only won the league also once or twice.
But
we obviously haven't done it in the Coppa Italia, and as I said, I think the team needs the trophy under Pioli as well. I think Pioli as a manager needs it, because
he deserves it as well, actually.
Honestly, yeah, I mean,
but like if you're Pioli, but you know, how do you convince people like to get this winning mentality? How do you make Milan a team of winners if you yourself haven't won a trophy in your 20 career? You know, it's gonna be hard to sell. Like, you know, this is the guy. You know, like, here's a homeless man who's gonna teach you how to live in a house. Like, you know. Like, obviously, he's a good coach and he's done a good job.
Is that the best thing you could come up with?
No, that was a very bad note. I'll mute myself there.
Yeah, it is, like Joe says, it is interesting, because we are, like, with Inter and Juve, we're the biggest teams in, like, Italy. So to not have won the Coppa Italia more than five times, and for there to be only, like you say, once in the last, like, 45 years, it is quite shocking, to be fair. But yeah, I think I remember like on Twitter a few years ago, people sort of like turning their nose up at winning the Coppa Italia, and like, but I feel as though people need to like realize that, like, say for Pioli, for Milan, it's a mark of progress, because we can keep on saying, like, as an England fan, I kind of feel similarly, because you can keep on saying we're making progress, but at some point you have to just go bang and win a trophy. So like, yeah, but it's all well and good saying, oh, we're a young team, we're progressing, we're getting there, but like, sooner rather than later, you do want to like actually prove that you're getting somewhere by, like you say, winning the cup. And then obviously, since we last convened on the podcast, there's been a whole title race. I just want to get like everyone's thoughts on that as well. It's been absolutely like mental. If you compare to like the Premier League, like in the Premier League, the teams at the top are, so Liverpool, Man City, they're like late 60s in terms of points, like 66 points, whereas Milan and Inter and Napoli are on like 57, 58. And I think that's just testament to how inconsistent every team's been. I meant like all the comments on Instagram are like, does anyone actually want to win the Scudetto this year? Because it's like teams are dropping points on purpose, which are obviously not. But yeah, what's everyone's thoughts on it? Because I personally just can't get my head around it and wouldn't even know where to start predicting it. I've got no clue.
I think Inter is still the favourite. Despite the fact that obviously, if we ignored last game against Salernitana, they've, you know, haven't been at their best, they're struggling to score in front of goal. But I think given the depth, given the players they got, they're still favouring. I think, as much as I don't want them to be, if I had to place a bet, put my money behind the team, it would unfortunately have to be them. However, I think everyone's been really impressed by Napoli this year. I probably would have got them like fourth or fifth if I had to make a prediction at the beginning of the year. Now they're challenging for the Scudetto. We're playing them tonight, and I'm honestly terrified because we haven't been great, and they, you know, they've just been great. So I think Inter now still do they still have a game at hand, or do they not anymore?
They still do.
They still do, yeah. So they still have a game at hand as well. So obviously, it doesn't mean anything. They could easily lose the game or draw it. But I think they have a game in hand. They have an extra point. I think if they're able to fix the attacking issues that they've been having, they're definitely going to win the Scudetto. I think if we come back to this after tonight's game, then I think we all have a better idea who's going to be able to win. Because obviously, whoever wins this game goes first. If we draw, we're still going first until Inter plays. So I think tonight's game is the biggest game of the decade for us anyways, because if we win, we go on top easily. So I still have Inter down, but if you come back to me at 10:30, I might change my mind. If we win, I'm saying Milan though. So.
Well, I think it's been an interesting title race generally, just because, well, if you think about it, the team I think who should be the favourites for this is Juventus. Because they've got the biggest wage bill and they spend the most money, they are probably, in terms of like facilities and what's the word, well, like in terms of the structure of their club, they're probably at the moment the most far ahead Italian club because of that. Voa, Inter Milan are obviously quite close behind these days, but obviously Juventus had a really crap start to the season. They're now only 8 points off first. So they're not entirely out of it, but I think it would be very unlikely for them. But in terms of who I think will win it, I've got no clue to this. Because, as I said, I think having watched that game in midweek, the Coppa Italia one between Milan and Inter, I don't think there's really anything between those two teams, at least on a head-to-head basis. There's not really much of a gulf. So it all comes down, I think, to these types of games, to be honest, because they've all these teams have shown that they're going to drop points against like Salernitanas and Empoli's and all these really stupid clubs that you should be like spanking but just aren't managing to do it. I mean, yeah. So, but I think in terms of favourite, I'd probably agree with Rid. I think it's Inter's title to lose now, I think we've got as good a chance as anyone really realistically at this point.
Oh man, this title race has been freaking crazy. Like since last 3 weeks, Inter choked, Napoli choked, we choked. The last week same thing happened, and this week finally Inter capitalized on their 5-0. Lautaro finally knows how to shoot now, apparently. Like, guys, since our podcast started, I've been saying one thing. Beat the easy teams and rest. Let's see what happens. But Milan, they just always somehow, ruin.
We've been the opposite. We win against big teams and not win against smaller ones.
Like, it's crazy, right? We won against Napoli, Inter, and then we lost against freaking, what do you call them? Spezia. And then drew against Udinese, Salernitana. Like, then what's the use of beating the good teams and drawing against the shit ones? It's literally the same thing, right? So if we took our chances, we would have been first with 1-2 points in hand. But now, we got to beat Napoli tonight, and it's going to be very hard. Like, my prediction, I know it's kind of early to say, we have still 11 games left. I think Inter gets it because if they get in form, they have a squad, they have good, decent backups, and they have a game in hand to win the league. Milan, we just keep shooting ourselves in the foot, easiest teams, we keep on, somehow ruining them. I don't know how. Hopefully things changes when Zlatan comes back, but I just don't, I don't know what happens to the team. The motivation level drops as soon as we play easier team. I don't know, it's the player's mentality or, police, tactics. It just, I don't know what, the intensity is very different. Us playing against big teams versus smaller teams. And it's been happening since last season, since Poli took over. it should change, you know. And we keep on missing easy chances. I have a feeling we're gonna finish second or third this season. I don't see us winning the Scudetto.
Would you guys be surprised if Allegri somehow manages to shithouse his way into winning a Scudetto by winning every single game 1-0 at the 87th minute?
I was about to say that. As a Milan fan, Juve being 8 points behind, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing for you. Considering obviously they had last year where they were amazing and then they won the league, fair play, but it's like a one-off in the grand scheme of like the last 10 years. Milan have got no pedigree again for the last 10 years of winning trophies, and Napoli, we all know Napoli. And so the fact that Juve are in they can get there. Like, people would say, oh yeah, they're too far behind, but we know Juve, they've obviously signed Vlahovic, who's settled in like easily. And I think that's the difference between, obviously, I'm not saying this means Juve are going to win the league, but when we're talking about like game changers and game winners, I think that like we can't rely on Zlatan too much because he's not always fit. Whereas if you look at Inter, they've got Dzeko and Lautaro and Martinez up front. They're the ones who, in those tricky games against like Sassuolo or Fiorentina or one of them sort of tough away games, we might have someone like Giroud up front, who obviously has a big moment in him every so often. Whereas they've just got that sheer quality that they could, their whole team could be playing crap, all nine or 10 players, and then they've just got that quality to win a game and get over the line. I think that's why Inter will win it. The know-how from last year, the experience, and just that added quality that they can rely on in tough moments. But yeah, don't rule Juve out at all, because yeah, they're scary.
If Juve wins, I'm quitting the sports. I'm going back to cricket. My country's playing decent right now. I'm done. I don't care. Like, way too much stress, bro. Like, I can't. If Allegri does it, man, he's a devil. Like, he is the GOAT manager of all time. Like, no way with this team. If he wins it,
have a reason, ball.
Sia should be like bankrupt if he wins it. Like, you know, we all should quit. Just, you know, hala, live football for life.
What do you guys think is Milan's main problem now whilst playing? I mean, I would argue we've become very Leao dependent. Obviously, he's having an amazing season, finally. Like, I've been waiting for him to blow up like that. But the second he blows up, the rest of the team is just like, not really doing anything. Brahim, you know, started very well this season, and now you can't even see him on the pitch, not because he's tiny, just because he's nowhere to be seen anyways. So, you know, he gets knocked off the ball so easily. He doesn't have those sparkles anymore, you know, dribble past a couple of players, make something happen.
True.
It's making me miss Çalhanoğlu, which I never thought I'd be saying, but here I am. Yeah. And then we got Salah Marquez, who, even though when I see him play, you know, he looks like he has a bit more confidence, you know, take on a man, dribble past them. But that's about it. You know, he doesn't have any good shots in him or the pass in the final third. So everything he does doesn't really have an outcome. Then Rebic, I don't know, he's just been terrible the whole year. He looks clumsy. He looks like me when I'm trying to play football. So, which isn't good. Then obviously we don't, Krunic, I don't really count him as an attacker anyway. So he does his best when he can. But obviously Zlatan's been out pretty much the whole season. I can't remember the last time I've seen this man play. Then Giroud, as Matt said, he does have his, you know, little moments, like in the derby where he scored a second goal, where he just changes the game like that. But obviously, he doesn't have that every game. He's not the most mobile attacker. He's not like a Leao who can just get the ball, dribble past for a couple of players and score. You know, he needs the service. And when there's no one serving him, he just looks a bit lost. Our main threats are Leao and Theo when he's on his day. And I think that's the main reason as to why I don't think we're going to be winning the Scudetto. Because when you want to win the Scudetto, you need to have those players that can change the game. You know, that's 1 second. We've got Leao, but he's not going to be, he doesn't do it every game. We can't expect him, you know, to change every single game, even though he's pretty much doing it now anyways, but we can't really expect him to do that. But yeah, what do you guys think is the main issue going on? If there's any issue, because I think the season has been quite positive anyways, but if you had to nitpick it.
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier in the podcast that I think it's the attack is the problem. I think Leao has been brilliant the season. But like long term, I think we're going to need a new striker, because if I'm being honest, like, you know, when Zlatan plays, he's good. But then other times, he's a bit slow. He's not really, you know, not always, you know, doing it. I think for what we need going forward long term is, fortunately, we need somebody that can stay fit and can, you know, contribute more often. And we also need a right winger that can actually do something. And I think Messias has surprised me a little bit, because he's not been quite so much of a pizza delivery guy. I kind of thought he was, I wasn't really sure what we were going to get from him. But I mean, Sal Macca is just,
I think he delivered fridges, actually.
I knew he delivered something. But Sal Macca, I'm still yet to understand what he does, because he can't cross, he can't dribble past anyone, he can't get to the byline and cut it back, he can't use his left foot, he's small, he's not physical. What does he do? He's just like an extra right back that can't defend. At this point, I think we'd almost be better putting Florenzi in or something, because at least Florenzi can kind of defend a bit. Never thought I'd say that either, but yeah, I think what you said was that, you know, we've become dependent on Leao doing stuff. I think Leao and Calabria and Teo are basically if for Milan to function as an attacking unit, you need those three players to do it. It's like Calabria does all these runs and, you know, you create space for other players and stuff. So, I think the issue really is just that, you know, it would be like if PSG's front three wasn't like Mbappe, Messi and Neymar, it was Mbappe, Giroud and Sal Makers. But it's not good enough.
Yeah, I think just overall the problem is not enough goals. If you look at not enough contributors for goals as well, if you think like Liverpool, anyone on that team can score, like Chelsea, anyone in that team can score, Man City, anyone on that team can score, whereas we have, like you say, Salamakers, who's basically just there because he's Liao's mate at this point and because he works hard. Like, that's the only reason he's in. We're not, we don't look threatening when we attack. And yeah, when you're trying to win a league title, like not being able to attack, yeah, it's not great. So let's move on to the predictions. We've kind of had a nice little summary. Obviously, Napoli, like I say, we need to win. A draw into fans would be licking their lips, because that gives them, like, both teams dropping points. They won't want to win. We obviously want to win. Napoli want to win. I think it will be a draw. I think it'll be one of those games where both teams will want to win it, but they would rather take the draw than lose it. And it's a shame that obviously it might not happen like that, but I think it's a shame that that is how sometimes these games go. It's like there's a fear factor between two teams. They'd think, okay, would we rather take the 1 point and like the other team drop 2 points as well, or should we go for three but maybe risk having none and the opposition getting all three? So yeah, I can imagine it not necessarily being a cagey affair, but a nervy sort of, like, when Milan and Napoli are at their best, it's two good footballing sides, two solid top of the table sides. But I think the quality will go down with nerves, with the fear, and yeah, the fear of losing. And I think, I'll say 1-1. Joe, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you made some good points there. Well, at this stage of the season, it's everyone's playing for something, like in every single position of the table, pretty much. That's why all these games are really edgy, because, you know, your Salernitanas and Itanas certainly aren't so happy to be, oh, it's Milan, we'll lose to Milan anyway, we might as well try and play some football. It's like, no, we need some points. So it's been like that for a while, and particularly these top table games, it's like, if you lose this, then, you know, you're 3 points behind and you're now relying on some Diddy team taking points off us or them, which is weird, because this season that has happened a lot. I think I'm going to back Milan to win the game. I think we'll score early, and then we'll score in the second half, And then Napoli will kind of, you know, will go really hard and they'll get like a goal back in the last 10 minutes and then we'll see it out with some really dirty tactics.
I think it's a tough one. Again, I think this game just kind of sums up the whole Scudetto. You know, we don't really know who's going to win it. It could go either way. But, you know, looking at the lineup, it looks like Brahim's going to be on the bench. Looks like Kess is going to take up the attacking midfielder spot again. So, you know, unfortunately, I think it's one of those games where we need, like, Leao again to kind of have that bright spark and make something out of nothing. Hoping Theo also has a really good game going forward, because if he does, then, you know, again, he's one of those who can change the game. Defensively, I'm not as worried. If I don't think we're going to concede. If we do, I don't think it's going to be more than one. I think Tomori and Kalulu are actually very solid. I've been very impressed with Kalulu this whole season. He looks like he's been playing as a staff, as a centre-back for like 10 years. He looks experienced. So I feel safer with him than Romagnoli at this point. And so I'm not really concerned about conceding. We also got Kessié playing as attacking midfielder, which is a very defensive option as well. So again, my only concern would be where we could score goals. I think it's very dependent on how Leao and Theo, even if Giroud, you know, is on his day, you know, he makes something out of nothing like a derby, then yeah, not going to mention Salamakers. I'm not expecting that much from him. But I think as long as we can keep, my main concern from Napoli are Fabian Ruiz, Insigne and Osimhen. I think if those three can have a okay day, then we should be fine. But those are the, even Zielinski as well. He's one of those who can change the game. So I think those are my main concerns. But I think at the end of the day, we will win it 2-1, I would say. I think we'll get a goal. We'll probably get one back. And in the last 20 minutes, we'll shithouse a goal. And then that's it. I think we'll defend quite well.
I think this game's going to be like very hard. I think both teams are going to look for a draw because like we're 1 point like behind Inter, like both of us. So I think, you know, it's going to be one of those EPL kind of game, you know, big game. But then it's like, it's going to be a draw. And I feel like if, I really hope Poli starts, Messias, because Salamakers, honestly, he's useless. Like last, since he renewed here, he didn't have a single decent game, honestly. And only thing Brahim brings these days is his cuteness, nothing else. Like, you know, so, you know, so I think Kessié, even though I'm like, you know, with the Kessié's contract situation, you know, it's up on the air. I'm pretty sure he's leaving. But then I hope Kessié starts because Napoli's midfield, they're big, they're strong. I think it's going to be hard for Brahim. Maybe, you know, towards the 60 minutes he can come, you know, and use his speed. My preferred lineup would be, you know, Messias and Kessié. And I'm hoping for a draw, but I have a feeling we're going to lose, like Rich said, either 2-1 or 1-0. Matt, what do you think?
I said we'll win.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. I'm like, I want to go opposite. They're going to lose. Like, are we going to lose like 2-1 or 1-0?
For the first time, I'm assuming to be the positive one.
Yeah.
So we've got a loss from Samir. I'd say a draw. I reckon it's going to be a low quality, cagey affair where both teams are scared to lose. And then we've got Rid and Joe putting the hearts on the line and going for the dub, which would be astounding. That would be so good, because that would be a proper statement that like 10 games left, we're like in control, we're going for it. But yeah, games like this, so unpredictable. That's why we love football. That's why we hate supporting Milan, because they are so unpredictable. Like, imagine being a Man City fan in this situation. You'd be so confident that your team's going to walk it, but with Milan's history, especially recently, we know that it's not going to be simple. But yeah, fingers crossed that we can get the win and really assert ourselves as like maybe Napoli 4-0. It would be more of as an Inter, like a Milano title race as it was. So I think that's about everything, unless anyone else has got anything to add.
No.
Yeah. All good. Yeah. Well, thanks obviously Joe, Rid and Samir for hopping on another interesting chat after a five-six month hiatus. Sorry for not being around so much, but yeah, we'll try and, as the running comes in, we'll try and keep them more regular and like keep you updated with what we're all thinking about. What's going to be a very interesting and tight title race. So yeah, we've had the summary of the season so far and a bit of a prediction over one of Milan's biggest games for a long while. So yeah, I've been joined by Joe, Ridd and Samir. I'm sure Naeem will be back with us soon. But thank you for listening to episode 16 of the Short Corner podcast. I've been Matt, joined by Ridd, Joe and Samir. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Thoughts on Milan.